parsha is Parshas Va'era. So it says, the beginning of the parsha, very interesting parsha. It says, this is basically the parsha of the Makot, of the plagues, the plagues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on Egypt. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, v'yomer elav ani Hashem. So God spoke to Moshe, and he told him, I'm Hashem. Ve'era el Avraham, and I appeared to Avraham, ve'el Yitzhak, and to Yitzhak, ve'el Yaakov, ve'kel Shakai, in the name of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, and my name, my real name Hashem, lo nodati lahem, was not known to them. What does that mean? Now, Rashi goes into this, and the Ramban goes into it even more. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to the others, he appeared Bekel Shakai, and only his real name, when I say his real name, his more, is Rashi says, Midat Amitit Sheli, is like true name. I don't know what it means, true name. I mean, Kel Shakai is also his true name, right? It's just a different aspect of his name. So what's the different aspect? What's the difference between Kel Shakai and Shem Havaya? So the basic difference is as follows. The others, right? The others, the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch was a personal relationship. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't revealed in the world. There was not a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Yeah? In the way that there was now with Moshe Rabbeinu. They went keneged hateva. They fought against the teva. And they had to fight very, very hard against the teva to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. Moshe Rabbeinu brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aretz. He brought the Hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Eretz, Galui Lekol, to be revealed to everyone. By the 10 plagues, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his Hashkach in the world. So now he, and his Hashkach to who? To his people. Because we're going to see in the plagues, that he always separates the Jewish people, or at least we'll see certain plagues like that. Yeah, and it's all by all the plagues, but certain plagues it's more pronounced in the Chumash. We'll see why. There's a Shem Mishmuel here who explains that the others worked in the Olam HaTeva, in the physical world, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into their lives individually, Besod Merkava. Brought them into their lives and brought them into the world through their own personal growth. Moshe Rabbeinu brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world for everyone to see. It was a clear Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Shem Yishvur, that's the difference between Yemei HaChol, the weekdays, and Shabbos. I.e., the others brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, right? Through toil, through tircha. Just as we have to be toiling in the physical world to prepare for Shabbos. Shabbos, however, is already mukhan, is already prepared. Moshe Rabbeinu, the way that he brought Hashem Havaya into the world, it was very clear. It was very open, it was very revealed. So too, the Shabbos day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was revealed to us. There's a clarity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, a different avoda. There's no avoda of going against the Ra in the world. There's no avoda for that. Right? The avoda on Shabbos is Kulo Tov. But still, we haven't yet got to the Shabbos. Ultimately, that Shabbos is going to be when?
Matan Torah.
Kabbalah Soterah. There's still stages to get there. Right? But this is still the beginning of Shabbos. The tachlis of that Shabbos is going to be Shavuos, which was given on Shabbos, which is Kabbalah Soterah, and then the world comes to its tikkun, which is Olam Haba, which should have been in Shavuos Soterah, on Shavuot, if it wasn't for the Chet HaEgel. Clear? Matan Torah was actually represented in Mincha on Shabbos. It's the same concept. But the stage is together. Now we're continuing. Begama kimoti et briti itam, the tetlehem, it's Eretz Canaan. It Eretz Begurem Asher Garuba. Right? And I'm going to establish my bris with them to give them Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Right? And now it's saying, Begama ani shamati na'akat bnei Yisrael Asher Mitzrayim abidim otom v'yeskor briti, and I remember my bris. Now, we see there's another thing that happens here. In the previous parasha, which is related, Rashi brings it here in this parasha. Vayeshev Moshe, after Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jewish people, and he told them he's going to regale them, he's going to redeem them, then Paro makes it harder for them. He says, Nirpimatem, you're slacking. And he gave them, you now go collect the hay for yourselves. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes back to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and he says, Lama hareota la'am hazeh. Why you did bad to this people? Lama zeh shalachtani. Why you sent me? Ume'az bati el paro. Since I came to paro, regebe b'shimecha, hera la'am hazeh. You did bad to this people. V'hatzel lo hitzalti. Sitzalta et amech. You didn't save your people. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Atatire, Asher Asel Paro. You see what I did to Paro? Ki biyad chazaka yishalchem. He will send them with a strong hand. Biyad chazaka yigarshem atzo. He will send them out from his land. So Rashi says, right? Okay. So now, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu is taking the Jewish people out, we see the stages. He says, Lechen emol bnei Yisrael. Ani Hashem, v'hotzeiti etchem mitachat tzibot Mitzrayim. So hotzeiti is the first lashon of Geula. That's against the first kos. V'hitzalti, and I will save you etchem avodatam, from the avoda. You're still in Egypt, but you'll be saved from the avoda. V'ga'alti etchem bezruah netuyah u'b'shvatim gdolim. I will redeem you, right? That means you'll come out of the land, you'll be redeemed, you'll be a nation. Right? Bezruah netuyah, with an outstretched arms and with great dominion. And then finally, v'lekachti etchem li la'amal. Then I will take you, after you separate from Paro, the final redemption is, I will take you to be for me as a people. V'ayiti lechem l'elokim. So you see the stages. V'yadatem k'ni Hashem. And then you will know that I am Hashem, when I take you as a people. Right? That's going to be at Matan Torah, right? That's the final lekachti, and you will know that I am Hashem Elokeichem, Hamotzi etchem mitachat tzibot Mitzrayim. I am the one who took you out, the same one at Har Sinai, the same one at Kriyas Yamsuf, the same one who took you out from Egypt. I am one in all those aspects, right? That I have complete dominion over the physical world. That's what Shem Havaya means. Shem Havaya means complete being in the world. V'heveiti etchem. This is the final one. This is the fifth kos. The fifth kos, which is Rishus. We haven't got it yet. V'heveiti etchem el haaretz. I will bring you to the land, Eretz Yisrael. Asher nasati et yadi. Letet otah l'Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Natati otah lachem morasha. It's your inheritance. I am Hashem. By the Be'er Hashem Moshe Ken of Bnei Yisrael, you told them, V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotzer ruach ma'avodat Hashem. Right? They didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu because of the hard work. Now, what's really happening here? They've been now 210 years in slavery. Some of the children, for many generations, were born into slavery. They know nothing, generation after generation of slavery with Paro. They never even knew about this concept of being free. Now we're taking these slaves, the Jewish people, out of Egypt. They're not even listening. It's a dimion for them. It's not a reality for them. They work so hard, their life so hard, they have nothing, you can't even talk to them. Who does this? This Kotzer Ruach is the first avoda of the Eight Sahara. He gives you a hard life. He makes life difficult. You're running around looking for this, doing that, working that out. This is mafriya. This is interrupting your learning. This is interrupting. You don't even have a head for it. You can't even hear it. Everything's disturbing you. Life's all turned over. That's the Kotzer Ruach. That's the first avodah of the Yetzer Hara. He'll first of all get you involved in things. This is a good thing to do, and this is a good thing to do. Could I for this? Could I for that? Buy this, buy that. Do this, do that. You're so wrapped up in the physical world, you can't even hear anything, Ruchani. You can't even hear anything that's going to redeem you, going to take you to the higher place, the higher level of self. That's the first thing he does. Now, says Rashi here. Let's see the Rashi. Here, Rashi is bringing that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitlonen on Kodesh Baruch Hu. How come you're sending me and they're not listening to me? Why are you doing this? So Rashi brings, yeah? Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaval al da'avdim velo mishtakim, Chaval on the others. Yesh li tlonen on mitat avot, on the death of the fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Habe pa'amim nigliti elehem, I revealed myself to them. B'kel Shakai, in the name of Kel Shakai. V'lo amru li ma shimcha, didn't ask me my name. V'ata amat ma shemo, u'ma emo elehem, what's my name, and what I'm going to tell them. Moshe Rabbeinu is mitlonen. You brought me here. You told me to come here. I came. I'm telling these people. Paro is not listening. They're not listening. What do you want from me? What do you want from my people? Why aren't you doing anything? Hello. We just now said Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level. Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya. The others only knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekel Shakai. They were only knew from their own individual lives. Moshe Rabbeinu brought to the world HaKadosh Baruch Hu in full recognition, in full force in the world. And Rashi is telling us, Chavala didn't have the others. They didn't need this Haftacha. Moshe Rabbeinu, pale da bebo. He spoke to him panim upon him. He spoke to him like a person speaks to his friend. Not b'chalom alayla, not at night, not the sleeping of Avraham, of Yaakov, of Yitzchak, not the dreams, not the sulam. Pale, when he's fully awake. And here is mitlonen. Here we see he's less than the others. What does it make sense? So I'm going to tell you something. We learn Kiddushin, right? Mm-hmm. We learn a Hekesh. Kiddushin to Gittin. What do we call it? What's the lashon of Kiddushin tomorrow? Havaya liyitzia. Vayita le'ish. Havaya is Ishus. Havaya is Kiddushin. Here is the Gilui of Kiddushin through Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people. What does a wife do to her husband? Get the food. Why didn't you bring this? Right? What about that? There's expectations. There's expectations. You with me when I'm saying there's expectations? The level of the kesher, the level of the connection is a higher level. So there can be expectations. The others didn't have this level of connection. Moshe Rabbeinu had the level of connection of issues. Ponim upon him, like a person speaks to his friend. Lahavdil. That level of connection, you can speak like that. Because it's issues.
How do you spell that?
The others in that lower level of recognition didn't have that ability to complain. Right? Mm-hmm. They didn't have that capability. Their emunah was an emunah with full belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it was based on a praise that they were. That they weren't in the ability of such a high relationship that they could complain and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do something about it. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a place that he could complain and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do something about it. So he did. And he wasn't complaining for himself. Try and understand. He was never, every time that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was never for himself. He was an Eved Ne'eman. It was always for the Jewish people. It was always for his children. It was always for his people, to save his people. To the extent that we're going to see later on, we're going to see that Moshe Rabbeinu, to that extent, he says, Mecheni na misifrecha, cut me out from the book, erase me. He's only here as much as the Jewish people are here. You with me? Now, we're starting, right? The parasha of the Makkos. But before we start the parasha of the Makkos, what do? We now go into the genealogy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? He just entered Egypt. He just spoke to Paro, right? And now we start. Sorry, God just spoke to him. And he gave him his message. Now we have the genealogy of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Why? This should have been in a previous parasha. Before Moshe came to Egypt, we should have had his genealogy. Or as he entered Egypt, he had his genealogy. Now in the middle of the parasha, we have to have... What's this to do with anything?
Good question.
What's Yichus? You see, when we speak about Yichus, we have, you know, later on in the parasha of Bamidba, we have the Shem Havaya. Shem, Hey, Ha Yibusi, Ha, right? With Hey and Yud at the end. So it's a gilui of shame of God's name. Yichus is always a gilui of God's name. The whole concept of Makkos Mitzrayim is to reveal God's name. You with me? It's to reveal God's name. God's name can only be revealed through someone who is miuchas. Miuchas means he has good yichus. Just as Yichus means he's shaykh, Yichus means he's shaykh to the others. He's shaykh. We see his genealogy. We see he has a good genealogy. It comes from a good place, right? I.e., God's name is surrounding his name, like we see in the Chumash Bamidba. So he's fitting to reveal God's name. Now, why is Yichus associated with the revelation of God's name? The Makkos is a revelation of God's name, Shem Havaya, right? The Yud Ke of Shem Havaya is the higher worlds, and the Vav Ke is the issues, is its revelation in the lower worlds. Yichus is associated with Yud Ke, right? And so someone who has Yichus, he has the ability to reveal God's name in the lower worlds. What is Yichus? Yichus means, and try and understand this, it's an important thing. And it's important that you see it's a Gemara. The Gemara in Tani says, when you're looking for a wife, right? There's a miuchasim. There's those who have Yichus. Yichus usually represents good midas as well. Usually. First it comes from good Yichus. They have good roots. They usually have good midas. When I'm saying like this, I'm going to explain what I mean. If you have a genealogy of tzaddikim, you have, just as you have like good genes, right? Physical genes, you have good spiritual genes. It's fitting for this person, right? Who has these good spiritual genes to reveal in the world God's name. So, now we're starting the Makkos. What's the first Makkah?
Dam.
We're going to miss... I'm going to just basically quickly, right? So, we see that when Moshe came to Paro, right? So, he put down his mate and became a tanin, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, put down his mate and it swallowed them up. It didn't swallow them up when it was a snake. It swallowed them up when it was a mate, when it was a stick. It was a two nisim, right? Why? What was that showing? That a mate, right? Even you hold a rod, right, represents malchus. Like we see the rod of Yehuda, they gave to Tama. A rod represents a revelation of malchus, eye of dominion. So when a rod swallows up the snakes, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has complete dominion, even on the lower world. And why snakes? Because if you understand, this Tanin represents the lower worlds, the Yetzirah, which Paro had Shlita. Paro had dominion on the lower worlds. Shem Elokim, Paro knew. He had dominion. Now Shem Havaya, which is beyond the physical world, that was representing this matter. We're showing to Paro there's some other force in this world that you don't have dominion over, that has dominion over you. Paro didn't accept that. Had Paro understood what was happening here, V'chabadit libo, Kodesh made hard his heart. And now the first makas are going to be associated with denial. Why are they going to associate with denial? The Yo'o. Because first makkah, it's malchus. We have 10 makkahs here against the 10 spheres. We get 10 commandments against the 10 spheres. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has dominion in all aspects of the world, which is expressed by those 10 spheres. So the first makkah that's going to be expressed is going to be the destruction of the Avodah Zarah of Egypt, i.e. the Malchus of Egypt, the kingship of Egypt, the worship of Egypt. Their Malchus is going to be destroyed. That's the Nile. So the Nile turns into dam, right? Water gives you sustenance. Dam doesn't give you sustenance. You can't get sustenance from that. And the Jewish people didn't have that, right? And if you understand, they made money. They were selling them, right? They're a good Jewish cop. Sell something no one else can have, right? So they sat into the water, and Chazal tells us that Jewish people made money. We're like, what do you need that for? What do we need to know that the Jewish people went and they set up, like you know, you can imagine it, like, you know, Shmulik, right? Cold water, right? Cold water available, right? $10 a bottle, right? What do we need to know that for? Why do they need to make money on them? So two questions. What do they need money for, and what are they doing this for? So the answer you gave was a very good answer. That it's showing their dominion. Remember, the Jewish people were born into slavery. Now they are the beginning to sell to the people who enslaved them.
And they get a taste of it.
Yeah. So not only get a taste, they remove themselves for the servitude. Now they become in servitude to them. So that's a partial removal from their servitude. Also, money represents malchus, right? Usually on a coin, you have the picture of the king, if you have a king, or whoever's the president, I don't know. The important people you have on a coin, it represents the malchus, like the coins of, right? Avraham and Sarah, Shlomo, right? And David. Represents the malchus. Always the coin represents the malchus. Right? And the value of a coin is given by the malchus. Did the malchus or did it? That's what it represents. So getting the coins of the Egyptians becomes your money. You're taking their money. They come in servitude to you, and you have now dominion over their money. You have their money. Shows that you have taken over their malchus. You with me? So that's the beginning. The next one is, what's the next plague? The Sfaradim, the frogs. What are those about? So now what happens with the Sfaradim? Vayom Hashem Moshe, Emor Aaron, Natet Yadecha B'Matecha, Al HaNarot. Now, again, the first three matters are done Al Yadei Aaron, right? Not done Yadei Moshe, and Chazal's going to explain, because the water saved Moshe's life, and the sand saved him as well, right? So he didn't do all these makas, Mitzara Karasato. There's a famous, he bought on that, I think, Rav Miller, whatever. The Hakaras HaTov is mitzad the person, not mitzad the actual object, an inanimate object. So now with the Sfardiyim, what happened here? Like you said, it says Vital Sfardeya, one Sfardeya, and they hid it, and it separated to many, many Sfardiyim. That's the Chazal that Rashi brings. It's Rabbi Yehuda, right? And then the Sfardiyim went into their mouths, into their tanorim, and every single place it went to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a finishing off of the Makkah of the Nile. It came from the Nile. So not only the Nile, the Yu'or, isn't the place of their sustenance, which is the sustenance of Egypt, it's now going to be the beginning of their destruction. Not only the Avodah Zarah is being killed, it's being destroyed, right, through the Makkah's dam, it's now going to bring them their own Makkah to their land. Now we see the Nile is going to be causing their own Avodah, is going to be causing the beginning of the destruction on the land. Is it not yet fully on the land? Because it still came from the water. But now they come from the Nile to the land, right? So now Kodesh Baruch Hu is showing the beginning of his dominion on the land from the waters. Their Avodah Zarah is going to be their own destruction. The changing of a person is twofold if he doesn't realize where he's going. The Ra that he did will be shown to him that it's Ra. But then it'll be shown to him how it causes him that Ra, in order to separate it from him. You understand? So this is a new stage. Now, why is this connected Yesod? So Malchus is connected to Mokom HaBris, and Yesod is that Mokom of connection, right? You with me? This is connected to Yesod, Sfardeya, right? That's why it mentioned, like you said, Sipo Dea, Das, says Ein Kishu Elele Das. That means, this is the place of the Gili of Das, in the Yesod. In this place. What's Sipo? The chirping of a Tzipo. Where do you see Tzipo? We see Tzipo by Metzora, right? The bird chirps, like the person saying Lashon Hara. So there's two places for Gilui Das. The lower place and your mouth, right? Your mouth. The Sfardim also made a lot of noise. And there's a Midrash that says, like a person going into war, that they make a noise when you go into war to frighten the enemy.
Like a shofar.
Yeah, like a shofar. Trumpet, yeah. They were shouting together. They shouted. They were frightening them.
Well, they're
frightening them. The dominion is on the land. There's a connecting the Avodah Zarah to the land. I.e., that's what Yesod is. The concept of Yesod is the concept of connection. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, don't think that he only has dominion over your Avodah Zarah. It's like a bigger Avodah Zarah who has dominion over your Avodah Zarah. No. He has dominion over your Avodah Zarah. He's connected to the land. And I'm going to see, and that's the beginning. You're going to see now, he's going to reveal himself over every aspect of reality. And that's what these 10 spheres are. Mm. But the way that it's starting from, it's showing you that it all starts from the Yaor. It all starts from the way of your living. It all starts with your Avodah Zarah. That it's going to come from that to your land. And it's warning you that you continue in those ways. You continue in the Avodah Zarah of the Yaor. Then it's going to come to your land. And now it's going to mitpashet. It's going to go and completely take over the whole of your reality. The whole of your reality is going to be completely destroyed. And that's what it's doing. You understand? Mm-hmm. Till now, the Chautumei Mitzrayim were able to do this. Belach Hashem, says Rashi, right? So it's the Pasuk, right?
Yeah,
the Sfardeh they were able to do. The Yor they were able to do. They were able to do it. So now,
the lice.
Now we're going to bring a Makkah that they can't do. They can't do Belatehem. To show a complete... And where's that Makkah going to be? Has to be in the land. Has to be a dominion in the land. And it has to show a difference between the Kishuf of the Mitzrayim, of the Egyptians, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dominion over the world. So Rashi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chautumei Mitzrayim, because they work through Shadim, who have no dominion on something which doesn't less than Adasha is not Mekabel Tumah, so that it doesn't have any source of impurity in terms of Tumas Mace. So therefore they have no ability to bring out these kinim. So with the kinim he showed, then the Chatum said Etz Belokim. This is the finger of God. They see God's presence, because this is something the Chatum couldn't do. So it shows dominion on the land. Then with the Arov, right? It's going to be the Arov, the flock. There it's mentioned the concept that they separated the Jewish people. Now there's a clear separation, because beforehand, says the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the frogs and the Nile, right? It happened in the Nile. It happened, frogs came from the Nile, it came to the Ezor, the area of the Nile, so it didn't go to Goshen. So it could be explained, so to speak, but with the Arov, that came from the wilderness, and it came from all parts, and you saw that it didn't enter, and these are animals that roam around, it didn't enter into Goshen. It was very clear, right, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu was separating his people. That's why there it mentions it. So now, in the Makkah's Arov, the fourth Makkah, right, which is Hod, right? Hod represents Hoda'ah, praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now they see clearly the Kodesh Baruch Hu is separating from Egyptians. It's a clear revelation of his separation of his people. Now there's a Hoda'ah to Kodesh Baruch Hu's goodness. And now Kodesh Baruch Hu not only shows his dominion on the land, he shows his dominion on the animals. Right? And then as we go weiter. We'll see now. Then after the animals comes the Deva, right? That's the killing of the Egyptian flock. What's the killing of their flock? There was their Avodah Zarah. There was another aspect of their Avodah Zarah. That was Netzach, Lenatzeach Otam, to completely destroy them. Complete all their cattle, all the things that were of value for them, their Nile, their sustenance, their cattle, complete destruction. Now that's Netzach. Then the Barad is a nes bitoch nes, came from the heavens. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu has complete dominion on the heavens, and it's a combination of Eish and Mayim that can't be together. What does that represent? That represents Tiferes. Why? Beauty is when opposites combine. The complete dominion of the heavens, where opposites Eish and Mayim combine, and then they destroy the physical world. That means the Kodesh Baruch Hu has now dominion on the upper worlds, the lower worlds, the animals, destroyed completely the Avodah Zarah. They're finished. And that's a remez in the end of the Pasuk when it says, Vapishta vasa'ora nukata. Ki asa'ora aviv vapishta givor. Why pishta? Chitim vakusemet lo nuku. Chitim wasn't destroyed. Pishta vasa'ora. Sa'ora is the Lashon Se'ir. Represents Esav. Pishta is Pishtan. Who's Pishtan? Pishtan also represents the Ra. The Ra in Mitzrayim was completely destroyed. But there were still three, there were still Makas to come. That's Keneged Chita. Chita is Neged Chochma, Bina Vedas, right? That's the Chesed, Gvura, right? And Das. Or Chochma, Bina, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But the higher level Makas were yet to come. And that's Chita wasn't Nukata. Chita v'kusemet lo Nukata. Right?